Well, greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. And after last week's sermon, we're going to find out how we can do what Jesus said. Now, Jesus said that lawlessness will multiply and that the one who endures to the end shall be saved. And I've got a whole stack of things about how prophecy is being fulfilled in a broad way in about everything that transpires. And so what I want to do is I want to concentrate on being able to strengthen us spiritually, because that is the only way that we can endure and that we can survive and that we can make it to the end. Now let's come to the book of Romans, because here is a key. And as we're turning there, let's understand some basic things that's very important. In God, everyone, everything that there is on earth lives and moves and has its being in God. Everything. Now, those who are true Christians are the ones who have the Spirit of God within them. And as we saw during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that we are actually a dwelling place for the Spirit of God, number one, the Father, and number two, Jesus Christ. Now, this gives us a connection right to God directly. Now, let's see how we can use that and take advantage of it and what we need to do. So, Romans, the first chapter, and let's pick it up here in verse 16. Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." So we have to have the faith, we have to have the belief. "Both to the Jew first and to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed." Now it's not something you come to. It's not something that you have a religion, you have a belief, you have a faith, but if you don't have faith with works, your faith is dead. "Is revealed from faith unto faith." Now, this is very interesting in a literal translation from the Greek, which is this. The Greek word translated unto is pronounced eis, E-I-S. And it can mean unto, direction. And it can mean into, to become part of. "Revealed from faith to faith, according as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now let's see what else is also revealed. See, the first revelation comes to us. The second revelation is knowledge, which also comes to us, that the world does not understand. Verse 18, "Indeed, the wrath of God is revealed." See, people don't believe the Bible. They don't believe what God has set before every human being in blessings and cursings, etc. But we see it because it's revealed. So we look at the things that are going on and we know that that is a result of sin. And we know that that is a result of Satan the devil. Yet we have to live in the world. And Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, "I don't pray that you take them out of the world," though many times we wish we were. That won't happen until the resurrection. But we have to live in it. And we need to look to God, because the prayer was, he says, "I pray that you protect them from the evil one." Now, one of the tools that we have is the shield of faith. So if you want a title for this sermon, it will be "From Faith Unto Faith," number one. "Indeed, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Now, God is more than fair. God is righteous. And he is given a witness to everyone. Now, whether they take advantage of that witness or not, that's between them and God. That's between them and their choices. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God, so you can find God. What did Jesus say? He said, seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open. Ask and it shall be given. But he also says to the wicked, you have to forsake your ways and your thoughts. So it may be known. Is manifested among them, for God has manifested it to them. Now we have many, many things out there as witnesses to the world. And they're never going to be able to say, well, Lord, why didn't you tell us? Now, as I mentioned, I don't know whether it was here or not, but last time I went down to Southern California, I always stop by Randy Vilds, and since we're working on the Bible reading project, he showed me some websites that have versions of the Bible that are read. And there are literally dozens of all of them as a witness. See? Now then, let's go forward from here. Let's come to Galatians, since that's just a few chapters over. Galatians, the fifth chapter. Let's see the kind of faith from faith unto faith. Let's see the kind of faith that we need from God. Now, there is belief and faith that people have because they believe in Jesus. And when Jesus was healing, remember, he told them, your faith has healed you. Now, that's not the spiritual faith that we receive with the Spirit of God. But that is the belief. That's the start. Now, here is what we want to receive from God. Let's read it here. These are the things which alone can come from God because they're fruits of the Spirit. Now, as human beings without the Spirit of God, we can partially fulfill some of these things in the letter of the law. That is true. But to have it as part of your character, now that is an entirely different thing. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So all of this comes by faith. Now turn back to chapter 2, and let's see what kind of faith that is. Now we combine this with the Spirit of God. We combine it with the Word of God. And this helps us in every way. Now let's pick it up here in verse 20. Here is the way we can endure. Because it says, it is said of Jesus that he endured the shame of the cross for the joy that lay ahead of him. Now likewise, we are going to see our world completely turned upside down. We've seen it happen in various countries for various reasons. And it always happens to any country or empire that is sinning against God so great that his judgment must come upon it to destroy it. So here's the kind of faith. Here's our relationship with God. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Now that's through baptism, conjoined to the baptism of Christ. And then we are also to crucify the passions of the flesh. We have our part. When we sin and the things come upon us, we go after it and overcome it, repent of it, crucify it as it were. Yet I live. Indeed, it is no longer I, but Christ lives in me. For the life that I am now living in the flesh, I live by faith. And look at everything that the Apostle Paul had to go through. You go read some of those chapters and ask yourself, well, And I think everyone who wants to set himself up as an apostle better read those chapters and find out, you know, you really want to call yourself an apostle? Okay, well, read 2 Corinthians 11. How about being, just try just this one. Just this one, being beaten with rods, 39 stripes, 3 times on your back. Just try that one, let alone treading water in the ocean for a day and a night. Okay? I live by faith. Now notice, that very faith of the Son of God. Now, the reason it is translated this way is because it is in the possessive tense, or case rather, in the Greek. To pistou. Okay? That means of, coming from, to us. The very faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness, right standing with God, justification with God, righteousness in the mind and heart and spirit and in action, is through works of law, which then is Judaism, then Christ died in vain. So let's look at some things here that we need to do that we can understand. Let's come here to Mark, the 11th chapter. Mark 11, where he talks about prayer. Mark 11, and this is really quite a thing that we have here when we understand what it is in the Greek. Here again, it's in the genitive case. Let's pick it up here in verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, Lord, or rather, look, Master, the fig tree that you cursed has dried up. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith from God. Now, literally, that means have God's faith, which means it must be given. And that's what God has to reveal. For truly I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain, be taken away and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that which he said will take place. He shall have whatever he shall say. And that's what we are going to need in the days ahead. Now, put in your notes there, Psalm 91. That's the Psalm of God's protection. Now, there are many other psalms you can go to, and we'll go to some of them, but that is the key thing. Now, I know I talked to one woman on the phone, and she said that where she lives, that now after I mentioned this before in the past, she said, I read that psalm every morning as part of my prayer. And I hope she probably does it before she turns the news on. Okay. All right. Now, since we're right here in Mark 11, let's just turn a page back to Mark 9. Now, what happens when you don't have enough faith? Well, this kind of faith comes spiritually through prayer, through study, through living. All right, Mark 9, just a page over here. Verse 17. Then one from the multitude said, Master, I brought my son who has a dumb spirit to you. And wherever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and gnashes his teeth and is withering away. And I spoke to your disciples in order that they might cast it out, but they did not have the power. And he answered him, saying, O faithless generation, see, just the opposite of what we are to have, faith unto faith. Our faith toward God, God's faith back to us with his Spirit. From faith into faith. So he says, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, but when the spirit saw him, it immediately threw him into convulsions, and he fell down on the ground and began rolling about and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long a time has this demon been with him? And he said, from childhood. For it often throws him both into the fire and into the water, that it might destroy him. But if you have the power to do anything, have compassion upon us and help us. Now notice Jesus' answer here. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. And here is where we need to start lots of times too with what we're doing, right? Okay. Verse 24. And the father of the little child cried out at once, saying with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So what did he do right there? He recognized truth. He recognized he didn't have enough faith. He repented right on the spot and said, God, help me. See? All right there. Now, after he cast him out, and later the disciples came into the house, verse 28, and when he came into the house, his disciples asked him apart, why were we not able to cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be made to go out by anything except prayer and fasting. Okay, so there's another added ingredient, prayer, study, and fasting. Now let's come to Matthew, the fifth chapter, because we are going to see how then do we develop the faith that God wants us to have. How then does it come from what little faith we have? And we build with the Spirit and help of God to do the things that he wants us to do. All right? Matthew, the fifth chapter. Now let's look at Matthew 5, because we're going to concentrate on the Beatitudes here in just a minute. But first of all, we know that he said that he didn't come to abolish the law of the prophets, verse 17. We are told that if they are taught, whoever teaches them, that one will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Then he says, verse 20, unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, there is no way that you shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a tall challenge, isn't it? Most people don't know what the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees actually was. It was really self-righteousness from their own traditions. So he is not telling you, you don't have to keep the commandments of God. He is telling you that the way that the tradition of the Jews was in interpreting these things will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. Now, he gives a couple examples here that are very important. And we'll go through a couple of those, and then we will see his conclusion at the end of the chapter. So then he said, verse 21, you have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not commit murder, but whoever commits murder shall be subject to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother without cause shall be subject to judgment. Now, add in here Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Be angry, but sin not. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Jesus even healed in anger. Mark, the third chapter. Okay? So this is having an evil disposition. Now you have heard it said, whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be subject to the judgment of the council. But I say to you, whoever shall say, fool, shall be subject to the fire of Gehenna. Then he says, if you're going to bring your gift to God, and you remember you have something against your brother, you go be reconciled with your brother. Because he says, in other places then? If you don't, do you think your prayers are going to be heard? All right? Now, how can you recognize every Christian man? Now, Jesus said this, so let's read it. Because, you see, the answer is not found right here. It's found in the first part of chapter 5 and the rest of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And we will see, why did he say to do such a drastic thing? The lesson is, you can't do it on your own. That's the lesson. So let's read it. Every man would say, this is unfair. Okay, verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So, hey, gals, don't say God's picking on women. Okay? Notice what he says. So then, if your right eye shall cause you to offend, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is better for you that one of your members should perish than that your whole body be cast into Gehenna. So you can tell every Christian man who's trying to overcome, he's gouged out his eye. And if he offended the second time, he gouged out the other eye. See? No. He is showing you the impossibility of overcoming sin within. That's what he's doing. So then he says here, verse 30, and if your right hand cause you to offend, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is better for you that one of your members should perish than that your whole body be cast into Gehenna. Now, let's see the conclusion of the whole matter here. Verse 48. Which then is a true statement by Christ and a projection of the whole new covenant. But you need all the rest of the New Testament to fill in the blanks. Okay? Therefore, you shall be perfect, even as your Father, who is in heaven, is perfect. Now, you can't be perfect as God is perfect unless first you have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And unless you're keeping the commandments of God the way that he has commanded, and unless you're growing and overcoming and you endure to the end, to the resurrection, then we will be perfected. Now, is that not the whole sum of what's in the Bible? Yes, indeed. So let's come back here to the first part of chapter 5, and let's see the things which will help build toward that perfection through the Spirit of God. Matthew, the 5th chapter. We'll start right here in verse 1. Now, this is private teachings to his disciples. Later, the multitudes came and circled around because they found him. Verse 1. But seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So these are teachings for us, so that you don't have to gouge out your eye, and you don't have to cut off your hand, and you don't have to cut off your foot. You have conversion of the mind. Verse 3. Now we're also going to see, with what we're going to cover here, the unity of the Old and New Testament. How they are blended together. Many things that are spiritual are stated in what is called the Old Testament. But they are not completely understood until the New Testament and the Spirit of God. So he says, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That means they're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. All right? Let's look at some things that define for us being poor in spirit. And we're going to start in the Old Testament. Let's go to Psalm 10. Very, very great psalm for today, I tell you, when we're looking around and seeing all the things that are going on and all the troubles and difficulties besetting everyone. And, you know, we have enough of those ourselves even within the church, right? And you analyze the prophecies of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, and you see that Satan is not giving up on any of them by trying to get to them. Now, here's how it feels. Here is what the world is like. And this is what it seems like to many people. This is why there are so many atheists. This is why there is weak faith. This is why there are the haughty spirits. Verse 1, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride pursues the poor. And just let you know, it's coming. All evangelical Christians, which we are called now and labeled as terrorists. Now, granted, we're down lower on the list, that is true, but sooner or later we will come higher in the list. And Mac told me that one of his friends told him that his child came home from school and there's some information that they want to put a chip in the hand of all of the students. Yes, indeed. Now, when we refuse the mark of the beast, will we not be enemy number one? Did not Jesus say that we would be hated? And I remember going back, you know, when I first came into church, and I wondered, well, how are we going to be hated when we're going to have the best behavior around compared to the world? We underestimated Satan. We underestimated people. We underestimated evil. Okay? Pursues the poor. Let them be taken in their schemes that they have imagined. And God does that? Yes, indeed. But also, when Jesus returns, they're all going to get caught in their schemes, taken into schemes that they have imagined. And what is it? What did it say there in Genesis, the 11th chapter? The Tower of Babel, all together, one language. It said, let us scatter them abroad, because now nothing that they imagine to do shall be withheld from them. And as we were talking here before services, we don't know how far they went before the flood. All we're told that it was like it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom. We don't know what that was like. We have a clue with Sodom, because two angels came in to rescue Sodom and his family, and the whole community of homosexuals gathered around in a riot because here was some brand new men that they have never met, and they wanted to take them out and have them. Well, the angels took care of them. But it shows you the attitude. And isn't that attitude is what is coming down now? Yes, indeed. Okay. Verse 3, for the wicked boast of his heart's desire, and he blesses the covetous but despises the Lord. Through the pride of his countenance, the wicked will not seek God. In all of his thoughts, there is no place for God. And this is what we are being confronted with. His ways prosper at all times. He is haughty, and your judgments are far from him. As for all of his enemies, he sneers at them. Sounds like some of our political leaders and some of the attitudes of the super elite in the world. Yes, indeed. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. From generation to generation, I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing, deceit, and fraud. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in the hiding places of the villages, spies. Only takes one phone call. You don't have to identify yourself. See how contrary that is to the word of God? It says what? In the mouth of two or three witnesses. Yes. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. That's abortion. His eyes are on the watch for the helpless. He lies in wait secretly like a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off to his net. He crouches and bows down, and the hapless fall into his mighty grasp. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. Now, we're going to come to that time. Right now, they are against God. But notice the attitude that they have, even if they understand about God. He hides his face. He will never see. So here's our cry. Arise, O Lord, O God. Lift up your hand. Forget not the humble. We're poor in spirit. We're not out there trying to change the world and save the world our way. See? Why do the wicked spurn God? He has said in his heart, you will not call into account. You have seen it and so forth. You behold mischief and vexation to repay it with your hand. The poor commits himself to you, and you are the helper of the fatherless. See, we commit ourselves to God. Now, this also tells us this. It gives us an example how we are to pray for our enemies. Number one, that they would repent. Number two, that they would leave us alone. Number three, that they would be far from us. And number four, if not, for God to strike them down. But God has to do that. See, it can't be that anyone advocates you go out and take God's law into your hand and you start doing God's business for him. That's God's business. But God is perfectly capable and able to take care of any adversary and knock them down even at the last minute. See? Verse 15, break the arm of the wicked and the evil one. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Okay, verse 17, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. And that's another expression of poor in spirit. You will prepare their heart. See, God is the one who has to do this. It's a spiritual operation. You will cause your ear to hear, to defend the fatherless and the oppressed, so that the man of the earth may no more oppress. So that's quite a thing. All right? Isaiah, let's go there. God is looking down on the earth. He knows everything that goes on. Remember the sermons that I gave on the Holy Spirit of God, the seven spirits of God. God has his eyes going to and fro in all the earth. He knows what's going on. Isaiah 66. So, when a sparrow falls, God knows it, and all the hairs on our head are counted. And some of you have more precious hair than others because you don't have much. Okay? Nevertheless, okay? So here's what God is looking for. See, we need to understand. God, the Father, and Jesus Christ are actively involved all the time with the whole world. Because God's plan right now is being worked on the earth. Are there prophecies to be fulfilled? Yes. Are there wicked people that are going to come up? Yes. Are they going to let them prosper? Yes. Are his people looking to him in everything? Yes. Does he know us? Yes. We have God's Spirit in us. We're a temple of God. See? Now, these things are important to really understand in developing and building the faith from faith into faith. Your faith to God as strengthened by His Spirit, God's faith back to you to strengthen you even more. All right, Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne. You can read that back in Revelation 4 and 5. And the earth is the footstool, is my footstool. Where then is the house that you build for me? There are many, many temples. Now, the other night I was watching this, what's his first name? Zimmer's his last name, the one who eats all kinds of bizarre foods. Okay? That's something. Andrew Zimmer. And I was shocked to find out that he is actually a Jew. Okay? So he went to the area of Kashmir, which is the disputed area between India and Pakistan, and it showed the great banquet that they had. And it was all Muslim, so it was clean meat, mostly lamb. And what they did to feed the poor, and I thought it was interesting that when he came to the place where they had the real expensive restaurant, that they still sat down cross-legged and they ate with their fingers. And the way they explained the justification for lack of silverware, I thought was interesting, because it is more, how shall we say, holistic, I will use the word, but it has meaning to the body if you eat with your fingers, you know, and you lick them and all of this sort of thing. And I thought to myself, well, that's a good way of explaining it, but hey, give me my fork and spoon and knife. Okay? But it was among the Sikhs. And they had one of the biggest temples on earth. And this part of India, those Sikhs may be some of the descendants of the patriarch Abraham through Keturah, because he sent them to the east. So here they have this big temple. You go in there and you give the gifts and all of this sort of thing, and they feed the poor. But notice what God says. You're going to build anything for me? And think about that in relationship also to spiritual character. Can we build any spiritual character just by human means and methods and discipline and that sort of thing? Oh, yeah, you can make yourself, you know, strong. You can make yourself a faster runner, or like this 14-year-old phenom from China who qualified for the Masters golf course. And maybe even old Tiger ain't going to make it. Okay? How did he do that? By work, by discipline, by practice, by practice, by practice. See? Well, we have to do it with the Spirit of God, not with the physical and carnal means of human ways. Because God says, all these things my hand has made, and these things came to be. Same way with every human being. God has made all of them. See, so the way that you become as God is through God, not your own ways and means. So the Lord says, but to this one will I look, because all eyes are upon the earth, to him who is of a poor and contrite spirit. Blessed are the meek in spirit, and who trembles at my word. Now that's all part of what we find in the Old Testament. Let's look at another one. Let's come to Micah, the 6th chapter. But before we do that, we'll take a little break and we'll be back.